worked with us here before he left back a few months ago and before the Canes came. We're glad especially that Brad is with us this evening. I have talked to the preacher tonight, and I have persuaded him to try to keep the lesson fairly short. If he cooperates, we'll be doing well. I think that we should be out of the service by 6:30, and at the end of the service, we'll talk a little bit more about the lectureship and how we need to get involved in it and behind it. But I do want to tell you that next Sunday night, the theme of the entire service is a short service. Now, short will be in quotation marks when you see it in the bulletin. But our service next Sunday night will be a little bit different in the type of songs and the type of scriptures that are used. We're going to be dealing with short things next week, and we're doing it in honor of our short song leader. I just couldn't resist. I'll pay for that, I'm sure. He may be short, but he stands tall when it comes to singing. I've got to get out of that some way. But we hope that you will come next week. If you're here in town, I know many of you are visitors, but we're going to emphasize a short service. Turn your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 6. After preaching from Nehemiah 8 this morning, somebody said, "I believe I can take that outline and do some good with it." And I said, "You realize where it came from? Folks, some of the best outlines are found right in God's Word, just preaching right from the Scripture. And I think perhaps we need to do more of it than we have done." I will be referring to many verses in chapter 6 of Nehemiah tonight, but first I want you to listen as I read verses 2 and 3. "That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I, Nehemiah, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you?" These fellows who are identified in verse 1 as enemies said, "Nehemiah, come down to Ono and let's counsel with one another." And Nehemiah said, "Oh no," to Ono. He said, "I can't do it." Tonight I want to do two things. Number one, try to analyze the situation, at least observing some of the things that were present and some of the ideas that were present on this occasion. And number two, make application to our time. First, consider the enemies. Verse 1 identifies them as enemies after mentioning Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. He says, "And the rest of our enemies." First, consider the enemies of the building of the walls of Jerusalem and God's building and God's worship place. There were enemies on that occasion. Don't forget the setting of this is where the children of Israel were coming back from captivity. They were going back, as you will see if you want to glance back to the book of Ezra for just a moment, in verses 8 and 9, especially the latter part of verse 9 of chapter 9, you will see that Ezra says, "We're going back to set up God's building, to rebuild those walls, to set in order the things that are there in Jerusalem, and to revive." He said, "Give us a reviving in this." And as they were coming back from captivity with the idea of restoration and what was their restoration plea at that time, they had enemies. Enemies who were living in the general area. Notice first that these enemies were concerned about the walls that were being built. Verse 1. They were concerned about how the people had banded together. And there is another lesson for another time in connection with this of how the people work side by side on the different sections of the wall to build it in the way that they built it. And if you will just turn back probably one page in your Bible at chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, you'll see that as they were building, they built with a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other hand. They were really dedicated, and the walls were going up. In fact, the indication is here in this first verse that the walls had been completed at this point, and that the breaches or the openings between them had been closed, and the rest of the work mainly dealt with the gates. And you can imagine how the enemies felt. Well, here's a people that are banded together, and they're working together, and they are building a wall. And we'd better do something to get them on our side. These were the enemies. Notice also as you look at this, that they were pleading for compromise. The very statement, come down to the plains of Ono, come from where you are. Instead of these enemies being willing to go up where Nehemiah was and talk with him there, they said, we've got to get him away from where he is. We've got to get him away from this restoration of the city of Jerusalem. So they tried even a fourth time and a fifth time with letters, and they said, come down to the plains of Ono. Probably 19 or 20 miles from where Nehemiah would have been. Come down here and let's talk about this. Later on in the chapter, the word council is used. Come down and let's meet together and let's counsel one with the other about what's going on. They wanted to get Nehemiah away from the walls and away from the strong place and away from where he had security and could be secure. They were not dumb. They knew that as long as he was in the city of Jerusalem and had the walls built and put up the gates, study the seventh chapter when you have time, that he would have a fortress there that could not be easily shaken. And so they said, Nehemiah, come down away from there and let's meet out here on the plains of Ono. And these enemies evidently were not past involving those who were supposed to be prophets of God. We may never know for sure whether or not Shimei, who's mentioned in verse 10, was literally a prophet of God or was a false prophet, but he was at least a prophet, and he claimed to speak for God. And they sent him to Nehemiah, trying to appeal to Nehemiah from someone who would seem to be from inside, at least who knew enough about the temple to try to persuade Nehemiah, who was not a priest, who had no right to go into the temple, to go into that temple and sort of set himself up as the king and the head over the people in Jerusalem. And notice also that they made false accusations. They said, why, you're setting yourself up there in the city of Jerusalem and you're going to set yourself up as a king, verse 6 particularly, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause you're building the wall, that thou mayest be their king. According to their words, they began to make accusations against Nehemiah and say, oh, you think you're better than everybody else and you're setting yourself up in this way. But consider Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, oh no. First, I'm not coming down to Ono to meet you because, number one, I've got work to do where I am. Nehemiah was convinced that he was doing the right work. Number two, he says in verse 3, I cannot stop my work. As I read that, I'm reminded of passages over in the book of Acts where the apostles were commanded to stop preaching in the name of Jesus, and they said, we cannot but speak that which we know to be the truth, that which is from God. We just can't keep from speaking it. Nehemiah must have been somewhat like that. He said, I'm convinced that this work that I'm doing is right. I won't stop, and I won't compromise. I won't come down on the plains of Ono and compromise with you relative to the subject of God. And by the way, he says, these accusations that you are making, they are false. There's not a bit of truth in these accusations that you're making about me wanting to be a king. You're making false accusations, and I'm too busy with the Lord's work, the work that I know needs to go on, to come down 20 miles from the city of Jerusalem and talk with you about it on the plains of Ono. And then I think we see something about the character of Nehemiah in verse 9 when he gives this little short prayer and he says, "Oh God, strengthen my hand. Help me to stand where I need to stand. Help me to do what I need to do." And I don't see anything in this entire chapter that indicates by any stretch of the imagination that Nehemiah was unkind or that he had an ego problem or that he tried to shut people out. He just said, "I'm not going to come down to Ono and compromise. And God give me the strength to my hands to do what needs to be done." Notice then the results. Verse 15, the wall was finished in 52 days. You see, when he didn't compromise, and he did not run down to Ono, but stayed with the walls and stayed with what was being done, the wall was finished in 52 days. And there's something rather interesting said in the latter part of verse 16 in talking about the enemies. They perceived that the work was wrought of our God. These same people who said, "Come down here to Ono and talk with us and let's have a unity meeting maybe. And let's all be in this together." And he said, "Oh no, I can't come to Ono." He stayed with the work of God. He stayed with the restoration of God's pattern for the city of Jerusalem and the walls and the worship place of God. And even the enemies perceived that this was the work of our God. The things written aforetime were written for our learning. I submit to you that what's happening in our day and time is not unlike what happened in Nehemiah 6. The enemies of the restoration of New Testament Christianity are constantly appealing, "Come down to the plain of Ono." Oh, it's called something else in our time. There's another place, there's another day, there's another name, but it's the same principle. "Come down here and some of you come and some of us will come and we'll get together here and we will talk about these things and thrash them out and we'll all be together and we'll all be in fellowship." Well, what about that restoration movement? What about that restoration of the walls of New Testament Christianity that we have said for a long period of time is our purpose and our goal? Oh yes, come on down, and we're all in this in the same way. We're all headed to the same place. It doesn't make any difference. I read in the paper today where someone was writing about being so thankful that the book of Galatians is the president's favorite book because it talks so much about liberty. I hope they back up and read verses 9 and 10 and along there in the first chapter. But folks, the idea is let's all come together and let's all be one happy family in unity on the plain of Ono. And somehow or other, you and I have got to take the same position that Nehemiah took and say, "Oh no, not in Ono, but in the spiritual Jerusalem, in the New Testament church, going back to the book," as we saw in chapter 8 this morning. We need to say somewhat like he said on this occasion, "I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you?" Brethren, I am convinced tonight with all of my heart that we are involved in the greatest work in the world in trying to restore New Testament Christianity according to the pattern of God's word. And I do not believe that we have time to cease that, to go down to the plain of Ono and try to unite in some kind of big fellowship where everybody's happy and where the walls of Jerusalem never get built. I believe that we can say, as did Nehemiah on this occasion, the false accusations that you're making are just that, they're false. The accusation that's being made today that we in the church are not as kind as we ought to be is just false. There is no conflict between firmness and kindness. And those who make the accusation, if you preach a straightforward gospel that includes a combination of the positive and the negative, you don't have any love, not guilty. My Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And when I hear the accusations sometimes that come from the prophets that seem to be within, oh, our preachers are not preaching on grace. They're only preaching on works. Again, I say not guilty. Folks, I have more sermon outlines in my outline box on the subject of grace than any other subject. And second, on the subject of love, I checked to see. And I have listened to some of the greatest preachers that have lived in my lifetime, some from this pulpit. I can close my eyes and see Guy Wood standing here conducting the open forum and Brother Gus Nichols, who didn't know there were steps over there, jumping up on this stage. In love and kindness, discussing the straightforwardness of God's Word. Don't tell me our preachers for years have not preached on grace. They have. It's not the grace only that some would promote today. I say to you tonight that we are not guilty of some of the things that are being charged. Even parents today in many instances are being charged. Oh, you're harsh. And you're presenting the God of heaven as a father like that who is harsh. Again, I say not guilty. I don't believe there was ever a day that passed when our children were home, and I'm not for sure that there is one now, that I don't, in a heart of love, try to help them be the kind of people that they ought to be. Now, if you mean by that that there's never any spanking and there's never anything negative, we need to do some discussion somewhere, not on the plain of Ono, but somewhere. Folks, those accusations are false. I have seen grown men shed tears as they preach the gospel of the restoration movement out of hearts of love to try to get people to see that we have got to come within the walls. Not on the plain of Ono, within the walls. If we're going to find the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, who is our hope of glory. Nehemiah said, oh no, to Ono. He said, I'm not going to leave the Lord's work and come down there at Ono, 20 miles from here, away from the house of God and away from the walls of Jerusalem, and talk to you. I'm going to do the Lord's work. And I submit to you that that's the challenge before us tonight. Let's preach grace, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, John 1:17. Let's preach love, but folks, let's not get it mixed up with tolerance of sin. And let's be willing to go out to say, may I help? What can I do? I'll use everything that I have to help you to come to the walls of Jerusalem. But I've got a work to do, and I'm not going to leave it to come down to the plains of Ono. I believe that's the restoration work that we have to do today. Preaching the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, but preaching the truth and standing where Christ stood. What do you think would have happened as the children of Israel came back to Jerusalem if they had been willing to leave the walls and go down to Ono? What do you think is going to happen in 1993 if we ever forsake the walls of truth and go to the plain of compromise with those who would have us do that? I believe there's food for thought. And I make no apologies in saying to you tonight that I believe with all my heart, as our lectureship will emphasize, that it's Christ where that hope of glory is. And that we must uphold him and be in his body and not compromise one thing that has to do with truth. In opinions, let's be people of liberty. Let's be willing to listen. Let's never think we know it all. Let's never think we have all the answers, but I believe we can think that God knows it all and that he has the answers. And I submit to you tonight that those answers are within the walls of the book of God and not on the plains of Ono. When the Lord's invitation is extended, as it is now, we're not asking you to come to just something. We're asking you to come to Christ and his body and his work and get involved in that work of that restoration movement. If you've not been scripturally baptized into Christ, that's the only way I know how to get into Christ. As Brother Butterfield said in one of his Wednesday night classes a week or two ago, God has the right to put the door where he wants to because he owns the house. And folks, he put the door into the church at scriptural baptism. He owns the house. He has the right. And that's the only way I know for you to get through the gates into the walls of that city, the church, and eventually through the pearly gates into the walls of heaven. If you're not on that road and that right road, come to Christ together we stand in